Okie doke. So about 6-7 weeks ago, I kicked off with Psalm 1, and I've had the privilege of doing, you know, there's obviously 150 of these Psalms. We've read them in between. We've done them in pre-prayer. So we've probably covered about, 10%, something like that. But we come to the absolute grandmaster of Psalms this morning. If you know your Bible and you've read the Psalms, this is just one that you probably, certainly if you've been around more than a year or two in church, you can at least kick off without opening your eyes and looking at your Bible, because this is just one of those Psalms. And we're going to take it somewhere and do something with it this morning. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Anybody going sound effects here? No, it wasn't a laugh. It was trumpet, sort of. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Timbrel and dancing. Just shake or something. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're in the mood for this. So, I don't know if you've got in the, because I don't know how long it is since any of you have actually written a letter. So I won't go into the letter writing, the email. I don't know how much you sort of think about the sign-off that you put at the bottom of your emails. You'll get one through Church Suite here, and if it's one that's come from me, it's got grace and peace at the bottom, quite intentionally. Perhaps you know, if you were to look at the bottom, you know who the email's from because of the sign-off at the bottom. I know, Jeremy, it's always regards at the bottom, and I know probably one or two other people might do that. I don't know, do you bother too much about what you say at the end of it? MailChimp, which we use here, and I'm sure some of you use in business and all that, they've done a bit of a together of some of the weird sign-offs that people have put at the bottom of emails. These aren't, some of them, you know, we're in church, so I can't, but these are the conservative ones. It's been swell, but the swelling's gone down. Well, I've got to get back to work. When I stop rowing, the slave ship just goes in circles. After all is said and done, more is said than done. And then this one, save time, see it my way. So, we started Psalm 1 all those weeks ago, and if you were here, we talked about why these psalms are so powerful, why people love them. And I think we had a show of hands, who loves the psalm? And I think the psalms, everybody's hand went up, and we didn't get the chance to say, quote me a line or whatever. But we said that there's just so much in each of these psalms about the aspirations of life, about the hopes, about the questions, about times, the doubts and fears and worries. But the thread through it all is that there's a future hope, that God is still there. He's not died on the spot. He's not given up. Nobody's switched the switch to off. In the middle of it all, in me letting out how I feel, God is right at the heart of my life and my hope. But then you get to this last one, the sign-off of Psalms. And it's as if David and all the other people who wrote these Psalms have got to the point of saying, we've got to sign this off well, guys. We don't want any, like, woe is me, this, that, and the other. What about my enemies? What about da-da-da-da-da? What we want to do is put a big, fat, full stop at the end of these Psalms and just lift God as high as we can. And that's what they do. And so this psalm breaks down into, I suppose, four palatable things, just very simplistic here. But it actually gives a bit of emphasis of how these guys thought. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how these psalms were some of them were songs that would be sung on the way to the great celebrations in Jerusalem. And how they would put together, you know, I lift up my eyes to the hills as they're walking through the valleys, seeing the temple and all the places there, gathering with the family and friends. And they've got this idea, my help comes from the Lord. I can see we're going to gather together, we're going to celebrate. So, who, where, why, and how? Very simple. Just one who, when it comes to praise, the Lord. And then they offer two locations in which you can praise Him. They talk about where? In the sanctuary, in his mighty heavens. If you look at that, let's simplify inside and outside. The sanctuary for them was the place, the focal point of their worship. Now, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It still applies to us. So inside and outside, in the sanctuary and in his mighty heavens, we're going to praise him. Two reasons why. Who he is and what he's done, or in the language of the Psalms, we're going to praise him because of his acts of power and because of his surpassing greatness. You are above all, beyond all, you are matchless, so we praise you. And beyond that, you've done some incredible things. I'm not going to list all the individual prayers in my life that have been answered, all the blessings that you've poured my way. What I'm just going to say is there are great acts of power, starting with creation, starting with giving me life, that we can praise you for. And then he sort of rambles then, because the majority of this psalm is how to do it. Trumpet. So, one Lord, two places, two reasons, but nine ways to do it. And I'm sure they were sort of limited because, you know, it's not like electric drum kit, because it doesn't quite go with the rhythm of the psalm. Do you know what I mean? Praise him with the trumpet. Get out the harp. Bring on the lyre. Get a timbrel out. Join the salibash. Get the timbrel out. Dance. Do the strings. Get the pipe. He emphasizes cymbals twice. So in a minute, when these guys get back up here, Rob, mate, wherever you are, you've got to hit them cymbals. But then the last line of it all. Because you might go, oh, I'm not a musician. Hey, who cares about that? That great last line that I think Matt Redman picked up in a song some years ago. Let everything. These are instruments. They don't have breath. They are things that we use in our expression of worship. Take all them away. Lose all of this here. And let everything, everyone, every individual, every living being, everything that's got breath inside its body, let them give praise to God. But let's move this forward a bit more before we do something. Praise. It's all in this psalm here. What does it do? I'm going mad this summer with these alliterations. Three P's, four with praise. It promotes, it prophesies, and it penetrates. Morning, Stu. Glad you could make it. Not embarrassing or anything, mate. We start at 10 o'clock. Sorry, but. So praise promotes. Singing songs and all that is not just about random, let's fill a bit of gap because Steve needs a bit of warm-up time. No. We've said that 1,000 times. The first thing that praise does, it promotes. What I mean is it puts everybody in the seat that they should be in. It distributes all the name tags. As we praise God, as we sing songs and declare our confession of God, what it does is, particularly for us and him, we sit in the right seats. He's God Almighty. We cannot light a candle before him. We have nothing to offer him but our sin-filled lives. He is God, the maker of heaven and earth, the perfect one, who holds heaven and earth at the end of his fingertips. The first thing praise does is make sure that we don't get above ourselves. Praise who? Praise the Lord. So it promotes, it puts everybody in the right state. I know how I stand, that I have nothing. I can do nothing. I am nothing without him. But then it prophesies. Because in the two reasons why we praise God, who he is and what he's done, we prophesy to every situation around us as we begin to think of his incredible acts of power, depending what translation you read. Somewhere in those acts of power, we're declaring how God has moved, how God has worked, what God has created, what God has provided. And that prophesies then, because in our situation, however good, bad, or indifferent, the praise that we're giving to God speaks to those difficulties. That's why we come together. That's why we do what we do. And hopefully go out inspired to go, I am going to beat the world, not because I'm anything special, but because we've sat in the right place and I've reminded myself again of what God has done. And so I'm prophesying to you, darkness. King James, be gone. Message, get lost. It prophesies. So praise promotes. It puts us in the right place. It prophesies. As we sing the songs and declare the statements that are in there, or however you praise God in whatever way, just be aware that in declaring all those things, you're speaking to the other things that are yet to come that are around you now. Praise penetrates. So you can see how this is building. God in his right place. Then we begin to declare his goodness. And as we do that then, we begin to penetrate the darkness, because we're switching on the light. And if you read John's Gospel chapter 1, it talks very, very undeniably about how darkness cannot stand the light. You go into a dark room, put the light on, and you don't hear a bit of an argument. Hey, I was here first. It is that, get lost. The light is on, mate. It's all open, it's exposed. I can see where I'm going. You do that every time you flick a switch. It's the same as we praise God. Engage with it and penetrate the darkness, not just the darkness in your life, but the darkness in the world around us. You watch the news and we sit there going, my God, what is going on? More assassinations, more this, more. And as we begin to look like that, the darkness seems to thicken. And then we put God in his right place. And then we begin to speak about his acts of greatness. Then we begin to declare who he is. And out of that then, we begin to prod the darkness. We begin to penetrate. We begin to get to a point where suddenly the light begins to emerge. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. His name is Christ. So, I might suggest gently, praise is good for your life. Seems an understatement, doesn't it, after all that? It intensifies the power of God within us. It does. That's not in any way saying God's power is sort of weak in us and we need. But we go through stuff and we face life and things happen, and somehow it seems to dilute sometimes the presence of God, and we begin to doubt and question and wonder. And then we praise and we go through all this process here. And somehow the power of God seems to dwell and rise up in us. And that's where we begin to think, you know, the Bible comes to life. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Let me finish then. We've got to sing. I can't preach this and then go, right, goodbye, have some ice cream. I was looking at this the other day. And I'll tell you what came into my mind, random thing. Don't know what I've been eating. I blame it was Holy Spirit. So I'm preparing this. I'm thinking, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Reading the psalm again. And all I saw in my mind's eye was a set of handcuffs. And I throw that out there, and straight away, you know, if I were to sort of say, what do handcuffs do? We, you know, quite easily we could sort of, you know, throw in an obvious and right answer. But you know, whether you've not had them used on you, but you've watched every cop program, and handcuffs don't actually end your life or end or whatever. What they do is simply restrict your movement. Not only do they restrict your movement, they also stop you retaliating, so you can't do whatever you might want to do to whoever it is, the policeman that's handcuffed you. I think when it comes to praise, and I think what the Holy Spirit was saying to me to say to you this morning was, for some people, it seems like the enemy, the devil, may just have handcuffed you. So that's not the end of your spirituality. It's not that your relationship with God is like gone out of the window and I've lost this, that, and the other. What he's done is he realizes he's restricted you. He's also made it so that, like with the policeman, there can be no response to whatever's going on and however you'd like to react. So if you have handcuffs on, and praise is a struggle because you can't react, respond, you feel restricted, then somehow or other, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to get somebody with a key who can undo those handcuffs. That's God. So what I want you to do is just unleash yourself. Say the handcuffs are off. I want to be free. I don't want to be restricted. I don't want it to be so that I can't retaliate to situations. So when somebody comes tomorrow, it's like, I'd love to pray, but my hands are not quite, you know. I'd love to lift my hands, but it's not happening. Hey, boom! We talk about a lot of freedom in Christ. And then all this can begin to happen. You don't feel like you can promote. You don't feel like you're prophesying in there. You don't feel like you're penetrating properly. But you're free now and you can. You can praise God, and all that praise does in your life and in the world and community of the church can begin to happen for you. See praise in a new light. What God called us to do. In fact, in the New Testament, I think it's the Gospel of John, it's mentioned this. It says, if you do not praise him, anybody quote it? The very stones. He's looking at rocks, something that hasn't got breath, hasn't got life. He's saying, you don't praise him. These dead, dumb rocks here will shout praise to God. So here's your phrase of the day. Keep the stones unemployed. If I had an album, that would be the title. But don't buy it. Keep the stones unemployed. Give praise to God. Paul, guys, come and join me. Let's have a bit of unleashed, unfettered praise for a few minutes. If you want me, Penny, any of the leaders, Pete, to pray with you, don't go to the back. Come out here. I'm going to stand around the front here and you'll go. Come on. Let's get some freedom here. I don't want to be restricted. I don't want the handcuffs on. And we're going to stand and sing. And these guys have been really gracious with me because I just threw it in at about 9:30 this morning. If you've been around church, a golden oldie. Feel like Tony Blackburn. Jesus, we enthrone you. Oh, lovely. Don't. There's new people who are going, oh, grief, here we go. Beautiful song that just really captures something of what we've said here. I'm just want to invite you, don't just sing this. Forget refreshments for now. Sing this and let us as a crowd of people on this bank holiday weekend give some serious praise to God. Yeah? And remember that as you praise, you're promoting, you're putting everybody in the right place. You're prophesying, you're declaring his goodness and his greatness. And through that, you're penetrating the darkness because you're switching the light on. Let's stand. And just, if you don't know this song, you'll get the gist. It's not difficult. They didn't used to be. Let's just lift this to God. And if it is that you just want to open your hands almost like those handcuffs are off, Lord, I just want to worship you, then do it. Give some expression in these few moments to God as we sing this fabulous song.